You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. Rest in Christ, finding peace in Jesus. This is what we are going to study for 3 months in 13 lessons, finding out how we can find this wonderful safety, resting in peace. In Jesus Christ. How can it be? How can we find this? If we find it, we will experience the highest quality in life ever. We are going to study this. I hope you will be with us. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, Rest in Christ. Lesson 8, Free to Rest. Our memory text for this week in Psalm 27 from David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, this is interesting. In times of this pandemic, everywhere, wherever you have a look at, there is fear. There's a virus, and it's dangerous, and it can catch you. And sooner or later, you will be dead. Fear, fear everywhere. And here? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Shall I be afraid of a virus? I'm connected, combined with the King of the universe. And if I die, he, when he comes again, will resurrect me. Resurrection. I will live again. So whether I live here 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 100 years, whatever. This is the mystery for quality of life. This is the secret. Here's the secret. Here's the key for quality of life. The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear? So, being free to rest, that's our theme for this week, means to have an anchor, to have something to hold on. I have the Lord, the mightiest of the universe. He is at my side. So whom shall I fear? Why should I be afraid? There's only one point in life that's important, really important, being connected to the life giver. That's all. Healing rest. We are in Capernaum, a city at the northern shore of Galilee, Lake Galilee. And there we are in the house of Peter. And there's Jesus with his disciples. And as soon as people discover, oh, he is there, whoosh, they're all there with all their sick people. They want Jesus to heal their relatives, their friends, and so on. And four men are carrying someone. He is not able to walk by himself. He is sick, very, very sick. Death is approaching. Death is near, close to him. Now, what to do? So these four friends, they carry him to Jesus. And when they appear there, they discover, oh no, no chance to get through. It's difficult for one person to get through, but they are five altogether. So how could they come near Jesus? And then one of them has an idea. They climb on the roof. It's a flat roof of the house, not made of concrete as nowadays, but there are wood sticks and straw above it. And they take away the straw. Now there's an opening, and they let down the person who is lame. And Jesus looks into this face. And this very, very sick person has a problem that is bigger than the illness. It's the illness of the soul, sin. And he's full of fear because death is near. And he looks into Jesus' face. What will happen? Root treatment. When Jesus sees this face of this lame, sick person, sick in the soul, too. Jesus, because he knows our thoughts, he says the following, your sins are forgiven. Wow! This lame person, everything is different now. He's still lame and sick, but his sins are forgiven. That's all what he wanted. That's enough. He doesn't want to have anything more. He is happy. My sins are forgiven. Wow. But people around, they wonder, who can say that? Only God can forgive sins. And scribes and Pharisees, they look at each other. Oh no. Nobody is allowed to say something like that. Only God can do that. Now for a proof that he is able to do so, namely forgiving sins, Jesus looks at this lame person. Get up and walk. And the lame person gets up and walks. Now there's silence at this spot. People hardly dare to breathe. their breath is gone. A lame person just walking away as a proof that Jesus is able to forgive sins. And why did he do that first? When you are healed, after some time you will die again. And what does it help you that you lived a few years longer if you are not saved? But if your sins are forgiven, then you will be resurrected after death. That's important. Running away. The prophet Elijah is on the mountain of Carmel in northern Israel. For 3.5 years it hasn't rained. And then Elijah has built this altar made of 12 big stones. And the sacrifice is on top, and then Elijah starts praying. And then, a thunder, a lightning, and stones change from being a stone to what? Gas. The heat, it's such an enormous heat that the stone not only starts being like in a volcano that it can float because it's so hot. No, it disappears into vapor, gas, air, nothing you can see anymore. No more stone can be seen. It disappeared because of the heat. And then he went on praying, the prophet Elijah, and after 3.5 years of dryness, no rain, 3.5 years, no rain, he starts praying and it starts raining. It's enormous what happened on this day. And he runs down in front of the king to lead him the way, and Elijah sleeps in front of the palace, and the king inside tells the queen what has happened. And next morning, a servant of the queen brings a message. Last day, you killed the prophets of Baal, and this day you will be killed, as they were killed yesterday. And then he runs, and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs into the wilderness, into the desert. And he wants to die. It's enough, he says. Too tired to run. He is so tired, Elijah, that he sleeps and sleeps and goes on sleeping. And then an angel wakes him up. Elijah gets some special food, something to drink. And after some time, he's woken up again and gets another dinner, same special food. And because of this special food, he's able to walk and walk and walk through the desert to the mountain where Moses got the 10 commandments written by the finger of God on stone tables. And there at the mountain, something happens that Elijah never ever would forget. It is the mountain where Moses went up for 40 days, and Elijah had to walk for 40 days to get there. It's a special place. a very special place. And Elisha is in depression because of the queen. He had thought, when God answers with a lightning, when God answers with rain after 3.5 years of dryness, if God has done so mighty things, Elijah was sure about it, that the queen would change her mind. But because of not changing her mind, still being in the same attitude and mood, trying to kill Elijah, this was a shock for him. So all the reformation he was longing for, he was full of a desire for a reformation, it seemed to be useless. When even such events, such proof that God is the God of the universe, the God who created this nature and all these things around, if all these mighty proofs would not help, what sense does it make to live any longer? Rest and more. Elisha is there in a cave at the mountain where Moses had received the Ten Commandments. And here we have a photograph of a cave. Oh, what a photo. Down there. You are in a way helpless when you are down there. Look at these steep walls around you. And there God approaches the scene. There is a mighty storm at first, but God isn't in the storm. Then there's a mighty earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. And then there's a mighty fire, but God is not in the fire. And Elijah is waiting for the king of the universe. And then there's something else. And this something else is not the storm, it's not the earthquake, it's not the fire, it's something which is called a still, small voice. A still, small voice. We can read this in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 12. He will read, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" And then he gets some new information and a mission to do something for God. Summary. What do we learn of this lesson? The lame person who was healed by Jesus, the first healing was the healing of the soul. His sins were forgiven. His sins were forgiven. This is the most important point in your life too. If your sins are not forgiven, what is the sense of your life? One day you will be dead, and then you will be dead forever. But if your sins are forgiven, then you will be resurrected and then you will live forever. So it's so important that your sins are forgiven. Have you ever repented them? Confessed them to Jesus? Have you ever asked for forgiveness? If not, now is the time to do it. To receive forgiveness of sins, to receive peace, rest in Christ. Rest to be free. But from time to time it can happen that we are depressed. Everything went wrong. We thought that, but it was just the opposite. Down, down, down. And then we are fed up with everything. And maybe we are so fed up that we say the same as Elijah said. It's enough. Take my soul, Lord. I do not want to live any longer. Well, what's the sense of everything? But then something is important. Did you know the following? God is almighty, but one thing he cannot do. Have you known this? There's one thing God cannot do, although he is almighty. He is not able to disappoint those who trust him. God cannot disappoint those who trust him. Why not? Because he loves you too much.